Proverbs chapter 30. The words of Agur, the son of Jaki, the prophecy which the man spoke to Ithiel. Now, prophecy in the Bible doesn't just mean telling the future, it means speaking out God's word. And he says, surely, I'm not an educated man, and I don't have great understanding. I never learned wisdom, and I don't have the knowledge of the holy. So, this is typical of how God works. He works with somebody who isn't really qualified, and he says, I'm not really qualified to do this, because I don't really know about these things, but the Spirit of God came upon me, and here's the prophecy. So, that is typical of how God works. He works through his power with those who are not particularly set up or qualified. Like Amos, he says, I was just a sycamore gatherer. He gathered fruit from sycamore trees. And God used him to be a prophet. And so we might think, but who am I? But we will be used by God. And he says, who has ascended up into heaven or descended? Who's gathered the wind into his fists? Who's bound the waters in a garment? Who's established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? What is his son's name, if you can tell? Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto those who put their trust in him. Do not add to his words, lest he reprove you and you be found a liar. So, Agur is saying that you mustn't add to God's word, because all God's true words are pure, and that's what we have in the Bible. And so any of these other books that claim to be from God, these are not. These are from men. And this is why we respect the Bible above all things. That's right. The Bible was written by men, but God put his spirit into them. And that's why the words that they wrote were not just the words of men, but the words of God. They were men like this Agur, upon whom the Spirit of God came, so that what he says is not his words, because he says, I'm not an intelligent, educated, spiritual person, but it's the Word of God. And so he says, two things I've required of you, please don't deny them to me. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food that is good for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. So we should not want to be rich, because we shouldn't want poverty nor riches. And yet people spend their whole lives trying to get rich, trying to get wealth. And he asks just for enough food so that he won't steal to get food, and not riches so that he will turn away from God. And Jesus picks this up, and he says that we should pray every day, give us this day our daily bread. And it means, give me the bread that I need for today. And so he's agreeing with what's written here. But it's very difficult to pray that, because we all want more than just our daily bread, our daily food. We all want to have all the extra things that go in life, all the nice things. And this is the problem. And he actually says, do not give me poverty nor riches. And all this idea that if you follow God, you're going to get wealth, this is absolutely wrong. This is not the spiritual way. This is not the way of Paul. And above all, it was not the way of Jesus. Don't accuse a servant to his master, lest he curse you and you be found guilty. There is a generation that curses their father and doesn't bless their mother. And that is the sort of generation that we're living in. There's a generation that are pure in their own eyes, but are never washed from their sins. There's a generation that has very proud eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. There's a generation whose teeth are like swords and knives to devour the poor from off the earth. And this, again, is what we see all around us, pride and arrogance. People who have no conscience of their sin, who are pure in their own eyes, and who are not humble, and who don't respect anyone, not even their own parents. The eye that mocks at his father and despises his mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out and the young eagles will eat it. So for God, it's really important that we respect our parents. The problem is that parents aren't perfect. They make mistakes in their judgment, they misbehave, because they're only human. But we are still asked to respect them. There are three things, even four things, which are too wonderful for me, and which I don't understand. The way of an eagle in the air, the way of a snake on a rock, the way of a ship in the midst of the sea, and the way of a man with a girl. For three things, the earth is upset, and four things it can't bear. For a servant when he reigns, for a fool when he's filled with food, for a bad woman when she's married, and for a female servant who is heir to her mistress. There are four things which are little upon the earth, but are very wise. The ants are a people who aren't strong, but they prepare their food in the summer. The conies, as like sort of rock rabbits, are a feeble folk, but they make their houses high up in the rocks. The locusts have no king, but they all go forth by their bands, by their regiments, like they're in an army. The spider takes hold with her hands and gets inside king's palaces. Lots of men and women can't get inside king's palaces, but spiders can. So, again, you see the theme that God loves working through the little things and little people. There are three things which go well, even four. A lion that is the strongest amongst the animals, a greyhound, a goat, and a king against whom there is no rising up. If you've done foolishly in lifting up yourself, or if you've thought evil, lay your hand upon your mouth. And this is so difficult, to actually recognize we've done wrong, to repent, because we all like to think, no, I didn't, make excuses. But lay your hand upon your mouth. And we don't want to be like that generation that we read of who have lifted up eyes and lifted up eyelids, who are arrogant and proud. God really hates this.